2, quarter number 2. We are off and rolling. Will Peterson is sitting in for Brandon Stokely today, and we're stoked that you're hanging out here with us. You want to join the show? You can always be a part of it. 303-713-1043. Always join us there. RamosLaw.com text line. Also watch the show over on Twitch. Twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I see my guy Mike has an interesting question. We're going to get to that in a moment. Mike on the RamosLaw.com text line. But let's congratulate the King of Park Hill. Let's congratulate Mr. Big Shot Will. Chauncey Billups, as he put it, is heading to basketball heaven. That is the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It encompasses everything around hoops, not just NBA players, college players, overseas, all that good stuff. And the class yesterday, it's a two-man class.
Yep, small.
Chauncey Billups and Vince Carter, of course, going in to the Hall of Fame. Vince played a league record 22 seasons. He was an all-star 8 times, two-time All-NBA player, and of course a gold medalist in 2000 when he had maybe the best dunk of all time, certainly in the Olympics. Chauncey was a finals MVP in 2004, of course, when they beat the big powerful Lakers, an all-star 3 times, All-NBA 3 times, excuse me, an all-star 5 times, and of course got a tournament win as a member of the Buffaloes back in 1997, beat Indiana, actually, as a 9-8 matchup right there, so I was real stoked about that. Chauncey, a big congratulations. He's the best hooper to ever come out of Colorado. Yep. All the things that he was able to accomplish. I don't like it so much that he's coaching the Portland Trailblazers these days, but I still know Chauncey for the King of Park Hill, Mr. Big Shot, knocking off the Lakers the way that they did. It is a big day for Colorado hoops yesterday, Will.
Yeah, the Trailblazers aren't much of a threat, so I will forgive.
I just don't like them.
I don't either, but you know what? They're going to have a happy summer here pretty soon, okay, to quote Yusuf Nurkic. Listen, man, Chauncey Billups is arguably the greatest native Colorado athlete of all time. There's a lot of individual folks that would enter that chat. Mikayla Shiffrin, Missy Franklin, the late, great Roy Halladay in team sports would be in that chat. No doubt about it. Goose Gossage. But Chauncey Billups, like you said, is the best hooper to ever come out of Colorado. And to do it at George Washington High School, then go do it at CU, and then his journey in the NBA, honestly, did go a little sideways till he finally landed with the Detroit Pistons, wins the 2004 NBA Finals MVP, rises to stardom, and then Josh, his biggest accomplishment to me in Colorado was coming here in the Allen Iverson trade and elevating Carmelo Anthony, who loved getting swept in the first round or losing in 5 every year, and dragging Melo all the way to the Western Conference Finals, losing in 6 to the Lakers in a series that has ripped all of our hearts out until the Nuggets won Larry O'Brien last year. Couldn't get the ball in bounds. Anthony Carter, you know, those bad memories, 2009 Nuggets. But that showed you what kind of player Chauncey was, right? Because what was Melo? He was a good scorer, but he didn't know how to win, particularly in the playoffs. I mean, he and George Karl in the playoffs every single year, losing in 4 or 5 in round 1. And then Chauncey comes, and they go on a heck of a run. Firmly believe they would have beaten the Orlando Magic in the NBA Finals that year. So I love the time at G-Dub. I love the time at CU. But elevating the Nuggets at a time they needed a leader, Chauncey Billups was that dude. Congratulations, Mr. Big Shot, King of Park Hill. Very well-deserved honor.
That's very well said, Will. And it's almost a moment of, like, Carmelo, and kind of followed him around. He was always a great scorer. He could always get buckets against anybody in the world. But playing the game of basketball, not that great at that part of being a professional basketball player. Chauncey helped him mature, evolve into a little bit of that. Now, he didn't retain with Carmelo because he continued to be that same player after his time here in Denver. But that's a really good point. Help them get over that hump, you know, mature into a competitive basketball team, a basketball team that was a contender rather than a basketball team with a really, really good scorer on it. And then what happens after that is kind of TBD night by night.
It was the same core, Josh, and they traded essentially AI for Chauncey. And someone else was involved. Maybe Antonio McDyess was involved in that trade and something weird happened. But it was really a one for one, right? And that made Kenyon Martin better. That made Nene better. That made Dante Jones better. That made Chris Anderson better. People will remember that team. Who else came out? J.R. Smith came off the bench on that team as well. You know, and it was just sort of an elevate all boats because of Chauncey Billups. Guy played in the NBA for 17 years. 3-time Colorado Mr. Basketball. Like you said, CU, best player probably they've ever had. I mean, number 3 overall draft pick. That's telling you something right there. it's a well-deserved honor. And when you look at it, like you said, two-man class, him and Vince Carter. Vince Carter's a very, very, very famous basketball player. This isn't a, oh, he's part of a 13-person class going right in. And it's a big deal for Chauncey. He should be formally announced at the men's Final Four on Saturday. And I know all of Colorado is rooting for him. And every time he comes back, even though when he comes back with the Trailblazers, it's still cool mm-hmm. to see Chauncey back at Ball Arena. And honestly, Josh, he's probably going to get fired by the Trailblazers after this year. He's had 3 years. He hasn't done anything. Would love, love to see him land as an assistant on Michael Malone's staff.
Oh,
going
forward. That'd be great.
That would be fun.
I never even thought about that. I mean, Chauncey obviously wants to be the head coach in charge, but that would be a great addition. All right, a couple of names people are saying we forgot. Kev mentioned C-Mac, obviously a big Colorado name. A couple texters are mentioning Lindsey Vonn from the Colorado names. Another mentioning Dave Logan as an athlete coming out. First of all, Christian McCaffrey, that's a big one. Kev, nice call on that. Lindsey Vonn, no disrespect, but I'm going to disrespect a little bit. It's skiing. It doesn't matter as much as the top four does. And Dave Logan, I mean, great broadcaster, but he ain't holding Chauncey Billups' jockstrap when it comes to hoops.
Phillip Lindsay. We got to throw him in that conversation. I know he's our co-worker, and I know we're going to see him in 3 hours, but Denver South kid, CU kid, Broncos. I mean, again,
that 2016 year, like, Phil was the man.
He was the man at CU, and Phil was the best player on the Broncos, going back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for a couple years there.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey's a little tricky to me because that legacy is still being written, right? Whereas Chauncey's is closed. Phillip is retired. He now does this for a living. Dave Logan, closed. I mean, and Lindsey Vonn, come on, guys. If we're going to talk skiing, go Mikayla Shiffrin. Mikayla Shiffrin has skied laps over Lindsey Vonn at this point. But, yes, these are all good suggestions, and I would encourage people to keep them coming. I still think Chauncey's number one after hearing all of them thus far.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, and that got me thinking a little bit last night, Will, of Chauncey's going to go in. He's going to represent Denver, right? He's going to be a Colorado kid in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's so awesome to even say that out loud. But what are we looking at right now? How many current Hall of Famers do Denver teams have on the roster right now? There's a couple that are shoe-ins in Nikola Jokic, Nathan MacKinnon, and Cale Makar. But what about names like Miko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog, Jamal Murray? Have we missed anybody? What if the Nuggets have this little dynasty? What does that mean for Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and the rest of the role players on that Nuggets squad? How many Hall of Famers do we have in Denver right now? We'll answer that question next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Text line's crushing it right now. You guys are coming through with some Colorado athlete names for us at 303-713-1043. It's powered by Ramos Law, and it's Will Peterson hanging out here today in place for Brandon Stokely. And the reason we're looking at Colorado athletes Hall of Fame worthy, because Mr. Big Shot, King of Park Hill, Chauncey Billups, was announced he is going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame alongside Vince Carter. They're the class for 2024. A lot of names had come in. Will, you mentioned Kyle Freeland. Now, not the greatest story as of late, but it was still one heck of a story to see him get drafted, come and play. And it was, I was telling Stoke about it, like the rows of Freeland bros. When Kyle would pitch early on, like, you know, the bros that are his homies standing there with all the Freeland jerseys, like 10 dudes with 21 in a row. I always thought that was kind of cool early on.
He's certainly not Chauncey Billups, but yeah, local kid, Thomas Jefferson High School, gets drafted by the Rockies. And don't forget, Josh, the team has won one playoff game since 2009.
Wow.
Kyle Freeland was on the mound that night in Chicago, Wrigley Field, the play-in game, and he was nails. He got third in Cy Young voting
one
year.
That's right.
Rockies pitchers don't get third in Cy Young voting. So I know Kyle Freeland's off to a tough start this year. If we're just being honest, he's probably never going to be the same guy he was.
Sure doesn't look
but
like.
We had some fun years with Kyle Freeland 2017, 2018, 2019.
We also got Amy Van Dyken and Missy Franklin. And obviously, that's the highest of level athlete, right? Olympic athletes and then winning golds the way that they both won. Obviously, Hall of Fame worthy right there. So those are some of the names that you guys have sent in, and appreciate you doing it. Keep it going on the RamosLaw.com text line. Now let's talk about currents, Will.
Okay.
Jokic, MacKinnon, Makar, first ballot, shoe in, no questions asked, right?
Yes. Yep. One, two, and three. All will be there the day they are eligible.
Yep, 100%. So then I go to a couple of other questions. Let's start on the Avalanche side of this. Mikko Rantanen, is that a guy that's a NHL, a hockey Hall of Famer? He's always going to be the other guy when it comes to being on this Colorado Avalanche team, but they're not who they are without Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, it depends on how long he does it, right? Because he's getting 100 points every year now. That's the new bar Mikko Rantanen has set for himself. So if he finishes his career here for another 7-8 years, gets 2 or 3 more cups, and has 100 points or near 100 points every year, then yes, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. We can't say he's a lock, but I also can't predict the future. If he continues this and they win championships, plural, he will be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah, I'm with you. With what you said, it has to continue. I mean, a year ago, he was the best Av throughout the regular season last year. So put a couple of those years together. Obviously, it's Nathan this year because he's going to win the Hart Trophy, but I think he's on the verge of becoming a Hall of Famer. You got to do a couple of more things, and you have to be consistent through 3-4 more seasons like this. And that doesn't mean 50 goals, but be a big-time factor on a team that's competing for the number one seed.
Well, and think about their current Hall of Famers, right? Jari Kurri is technically an Avalanche Hall of Famer. People don't really associate Jari Kurri with the Avs. But the other five are all household names. Rob Blake, Ray Bourque, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, and Patrick Waugh. So it's a pretty high bar you have to clear to make the Hall of Fame. Waugh and Sakic, the most obvious by a mile. Bourque, a lot of time in Boston, but won a cup here. Blake, a lot of time in L.A., won a cup here. And then, of course, Peter the Great, who was awesome, but his career, unfortunately, got a little plagued by injuries. But that's the bar we are setting to be a Hall of Famer. It's not like we're talking about, oh, Chris Drury is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Milan Hayduk's a Hall of Famer. Alex Tanguay is a Hall of Famer. You have to be great to make the Hall of Fame. That's why Mikko's got to, again, win multiple cups and keep up this point pace for a long time.
Next name, I think, is a fun conversation. Gabriel Landeskog. Where does Gabe fit in the Hall of Fame conversation? Now, this is a kid, literally a kid, when he came here, right? At 19, they slapped the C on his sweater. You wonder how he's going to handle that, and he handled it beautifully. He has been, like, the definition of what a captain should be from at 19 to now what he is, 32 or whatever his age is. It's been beautiful. But he's never been, like, the best player on the team. He's just got the C on his sweater. And then now you obviously know what he's dealing with his injuries. We look at Gabe through a different lens here, and that's going to make this difficult because if I take my Colorado glasses off, I'm not sure he is, Will.
Yeah,
but with my Colorado glasses on, he's a first balloter, and I'm like, let's go, Gabe. He's the captain, but I can step back a little bit and have that real conversation with myself.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's not the Avalanche Hall of Fame. It's the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. No, he's not a Hall of Famer, unfortunately. That doesn't mean his number couldn't go into the rafters at Ball Arena one day.
There you go.
We could raise 92 up there. The only way Gabe would ever get in, he'd have to come back this year, win another cup, and then maybe come back next year, win another cup. But unfortunately, I think Gabe Landeskog will come up a little short. But guess what? 99.9% of NHL players come up a little bit short. Nothing to hang your head about.
Yeah, they come up short and aren't captains and don't have Stanley Cups.
Bingo.
He's got a couple things working his way. We're going to kick it around deeper later, but early feelings on Gabe playing in the playoffs this year. I am not banking on it. I am not counting on it. And I don't think anybody should.
I have a little bit of a different take on it. I think that if he can come back and play 8 to 10 minutes a game on the fourth line and be a big body on the power play and that hand-eye coordination gets you a few goals here and there, then he should come back and then he should retire and win a second cup in 3 years and call it a career. I mean, what better way for Gabe Landeskog to come out at Civic Center Park with that Sweden flag draped around him for a second time and announce to the world, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, the knee doesn't have much left.
No.
You can tell by those skating videos the knee doesn't have much left. So why not grind that knee into the ground, so to speak, 25 games this summer, win a second cup, call it a career, pull a John Elway, pull a Peyton Manning, ride off into the sunset. I'm going a little Disney movie on you. I know I am.
Oh, good.
But I also don't think sitting out, he doesn't have an 82-game season in him, is my point.
Yeah.
So you might as well just come back now, because another 3-4 months of skating gingerly isn't going to prepare him for an 82-game grind. Come back for the playoffs, win a second cup, then retire. That would be my fairy tale ending.
I'm with you. That would be a beautiful story for Avalanche fans. All right, now let's go to the Ball Arena Bros other end of this in the Denver Nuggets. We already locked up Nikola. That's obvious. We don't even need to spend time on it. What about Jamal Murray? What about Jamal Murray as a basketball Hall of Famer? And Will, I believe that the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, it's the easiest of all Hall of Fames to get in. They're the exact opposite of the NFL, where the NFL's got a bunch of sticks up there, you know what, and won't figure it out. The NBA, that's a turnstile, and they just welcome you. You're in. Has Jamal Murray done enough with just one championship and being the sidekick of the greatest center to ever live and wear a Denver jersey?
No, but I think he's firmly in that Miko Rantanen category. Let's see how it plays out, right? Let's see how many Larry O'Briens he ends up with. Could he win a finals MVP at some point? He would have been finals MVP last year if it weren't for that guy named Nikola Jokic. There's no reason Jamal Murray can't trend toward being a Hall of Famer. The only other thing in this is health, because he missed 18 months with an ACL. And if you look at how many games he's missed in his Nuggets career, I think we're approaching something like 200. I mean, wow. It's a lot of Nuggets games that he has had to sit out. So he's going to have to win multiple titles, and he's going to have to find a way to stay healthy. But if he plays at an elite level for another 8 to 10 years, absolutely could be a Hall of Famer one day.
And I'm with you. I think, like I said, the Basketball Hall of Fame, like if he's the Robin to Nikola's Batman for a decade, and there are a few championships inside that, I mean, ultimately, he'll find his way to an all-star game, at least one or two, I think, before it's all said and done. Some of these top-heavy guards, the Stephs and stuff, will be leaving the league while Jamal still has some time in it, and that'll help. That'll help the cause. All-NBA team, I don't know. You got to play games to get to that status, so that's something that Jamal has to overcome. And then Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., Will, I mean, we're talking about the Nuggets have to win 4 championships in like 7 years for those guys to be inside the conversation. They're great. And again, we're looking through it through our Colorado lenses right now, and it's a beautiful view. But if we take those glasses off and think about what the national narrative is and the perception of those role players, nobody's going to look at them and go, whoa, that's a Hall of Fame role player there in Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, it's not the Hall of Good. It's the Hall of Fame. They're both very, very good players. But the only way I could see it happening, you mentioned championships. The other way, if MPJ lets this max expire and then goes and becomes the dude somewhere else.
Or you think he has that in him?
I don't think so, but you're asking me how he gets there.
Fair.
Right? MPJ goes and signs a max with the Charlotte Hornets and elevates them to the playoffs while he's scoring 29 a game. That would be his path. He's buried behind too many great players here to carve out a Hall of Fame career of his own.
All right, Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies fans, what do you think? Keep the texts rolling in on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Wait. We're not talking about any Broncos Hall of Famers?
Do they? Well, they have to have them. Who on the Broncos right now is going to be in the Hall of Fame conversation?
PS2 could be a Hall of Famer one day.
Now he better get the heck up out of Denver.
Yes, but he could. And then Rockies, we're not going to throw in our rocks? No, the Rockies have exactly zero Hall of Famers at the moment. Like, well, especially because baseball is really hard to get into.
Right.
You know, Larry Walker or Todd Helton is not on this roster. No, I will tell you that much.
Zeke Tovar, maybe in 10 years we have that conversation, right?
It's so hard, Josh. That's just putting undue pressure for him to even sniff Larry Walker and Todd Helton. Nolan Arenado will be a Hall of Famer one day, though.
Not wearing a Rockies hat, though.
No, sir.
Maybe I put Dick Monfort in the Hall of Fame of business ethics.
Ethics?
Or, I mean, just business in general.
You're going full Billy Madison on us?
That's where I went from, yeah.
I choose business ethics.
As a businessman, Dick Monfort's a Hall of Famer.
He is.
He is a gold star up there. All right, keep it going. Somebody now wants to bet us $20 if Aaron Gordon makes the Hall of Fame. I'll take that bet from you. Somebody else mentioned John Stearns. I wanted to say that because he's a pitcher born here in Denver, played way back in the 70s. But his nickname was Bad Dude, and I think that's pretty awesome.
That's a good one, man. I love it.
Good job on the text line there. We will take a timeout. I want to get back to the Rockies. 4th straight loss for the Bad News Rockies. Did they show us anything in the comeback that came up just short that could make us believe they get back on track this weekend for the home opener? We'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Yeah.
So come on and tickety check yourself before you wreck yourself. Will Peterson hanging out, sitting in for Stoke today. We are with you till 2 o'clock. Got a chance for you to win some pretty sweet tickets up to the Cheyenne Frontier Days. You got to be tuned in to find out how you can win. We'll do that coming up here sooner rather than later. Well, I want to get to the bad news Rockies. Let's talk about what they were able to do last night, or not able to do, which is win a game. But they did make it interesting. It got interesting there in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings when the Rockies found a way to score some runs. Chris Bryant even got a couple of hits last night. That was kind of cool to see, right?
The average is no longer zero.
Right.
His average was 0-0-0 till about the 4th inning last night.
He got the first hit, and even the guys on the broadcast were like, oh, you can see him kind of like a, finally. And to be serious for a moment on the Rockies, like, I understand the frustration from Chris Bryant. No sympathy, really, from me about the frustrations and the struggles because, well, you're the highest paid player. You're supposed to be what you're supposed to be, and you're not that. And all those comments from the stuff in spring training. He tried to walk it back. But I still remember what he said, right?
Yeah, I mean, just to reset that for someone who doesn't know, he basically said 3 weeks ago he didn't know how bad this team sucked.
And didn't know what he was getting himself into by signing the deal that he signed.
Yeah, you signed for $182 million. First of all, no one has sympathy for that.
Yeah.
Second of all, shame on you for not doing a little bit of research, bro.
Yeah, right.
And then to say into an open microphone, hey, these guys all stink and I didn't know it, and then they hit zero for the first six games. Well, who stinks now, Chris?
Mm-hmm. And Bud Black gave him a day off after three games because he was so bad. That's just ridiculous. But nonetheless, he did find a way to get a hit last night. But they couldn't get it done. They fall to 1-6 despite the comeback there. Error at the end of the game allowed the Cubs to win 9-8 last night. And, Will, you said something earlier that it hit home because I thought the same exact thing. In that seventh inning, eighth inning, when they're starting to get things rolling, I'm like, this is going to be something that – they're not going to turn their entire season around because of a cold night in Chicago where the Cubs were playing the clock or the outs, I guess, more than they were playing the Colorado Rockies themselves. But it could have been something where, all right, let's get a little bit of momentum rolling with us. Let's come home. Let's entertain our, you know, quotes around home fans that are going to be there throughout the weekend, mostly tomorrow for the big party. But it could have been something that got that sour taste out of our mouth of being literally the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. But again, they couldn't even execute in the late innings in Chicago last night.
Yeah, it was just a frustrating game all around because they storm back to make it 8-8, and they finally are hitting the ball. They're hitting the ball hard. They're finding gaps. They're sneaking it inside the line. Charlie Blackmon, man, I feel bad for Charlie Blackmon in the sense that he is their best player, and he's 38 years old, but he's hitting the ball all over the park. At least Charlie brings it every night, unlike some of his teammates. And still, they get 8-8, and they go to that bottom of the eighth inning, and a guy reaches on a drop third strike, which is one of the weirdest rules in sports. Hey, your pitch was so filthy that he gets to go to first. But what do? They give up a base hit, first and third, no outs, ground ball to Ryan McMahon. He throws the ball home, and this catcher, this backup dude I've never heard of, Stallings or something, just drops the ball.
Yeah.
Just decides to drop the baseball rather than tagging the dude out at the plate, and you can just feel the air come out of the balloon, and you knew they were going to lose at that point because they had exhausted all their energy coming back. But there was also a play when they were letting the game get out of hand, base hit to center field, Michael Tolia playing first base decides just not to cut the baseball off, and this wild throw goes halfway up the third baseline, and another run scores, and they end up losing by one run. So I'm really glad that Michael Tolia can wear ski goggles and a helmet for hitting a home run down 10-0. But he can't learn to cut a baseball off, which I learned as a sixth grader.
Right.
Maybe I'm being a little too harsh, but the lack of awareness from that dude to put on the celebratory clown show get up in the dugout on a home run down 10-0, and then the very next night not understand how to cut off a baseball? Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Kidding me?
I'm with you 100% on the celebratory home run thing. Now, look, in baseball, everybody has that little thing. Like, each team has their bit or their shtick, you know, when you hit a home run.
You know when that's fun to tie a game in the playoffs?
Right. Read the room. Read the freaking room. No, you said it. Well, you're not the only one upset about that. Fans don't want to see that nonsense. That's a slap in the face that you're not as upset as I am. And I'm sitting on my dang couch, in some people's cases, paying to watch this nonsense. You're getting paid to be a part of this nonsense and aren't taking it as serious as I am on my couch. That's a big problem.
And then the very next night to not understand a Little League play.
Yeah.
Well, to cut a baseball off that cost you a run in a game you lost 9-8.
And what?
Bad 36 hours for Michael Tolia.
And Brendan Doyle is throwing it to him.
Yes.
That's the target. And he got out of the way.
And also, Tolia's a young kid. I get it. He's a fringe big leaguer. He's mostly a AAA guy, barely made the roster. Where are the leaders in the dugout? Hey, no one put on a ski helmet and goggles when we're hitting home runs down 10-0. Can you imagine what Nathan MacKinnon would do if someone pulled a stunt like that? Or go back to the great Broncos teams? Can you imagine what Aqib Talib would do if someone pulled a stunt like that? Where are the leaders? Where is Chris Bryant on this team? Charlie Blackman has, again, been great, but where is he leading? Where is Bud Black? Guys, knock it off. We're down 10-0. Mm-hmm. It feels like the players are a microcosm of management that maybe they don't get it either.
That's very, very well said. This is something we've been talking about this week, Will, with Stoke and myself and Rockies fans on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. The Nuggets are 53-23 right now. Six games left.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins more games this year, the Denver Nuggets or the Colorado Rockies?
It's tough because I think they're both going to be somewhere in the mid-50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've said, I mean, the benchmark for me, Josh, has been 110 losses for the Rockies. Like, forget the road to 100. We've done that.
Yeah.
We're now on the road to 110. Well, the road to 110 would be 52.
Wow.
So my gut is the Denver Nuggets finish with four to five-ish more wins than the Colorado Rockies. If you made me guess here on April 4th, Nuggets, high 50s, Rockies low 50s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 52 is just absolutely embarrassing. When Stoke and I were kicking this around yesterday, he said the same thing. He took Nuggets, and I thought, well, let me see what rest looks like down the stretch, how they handle it. I think the Nuggets have San Antonio and Memphis to end the year. How they handle those two games, they're not going to matter at all. I'm giving them too much benefit, and they've earned absolutely none. I'm talking about the Rockies here. 55, 56, 58 wins, like, that should be a given for a Major League Baseball team. Now, I get it. They might not be a Major League Baseball team, but you show up and win 55, man.
Yeah, but the bar is so low that the reaction last night was, well, gosh, at least it was close. I mean, that's where we have set our expectations for the Rockies, is there was this notion that, well, good comeback. Only lost 9-8. Yeah. Still an L, man. You're still coming home 1-6. To an opening day crowd tomorrow that's going to be at El Patio, but still hasn't sold out Coors Field. Yeah. So it's one of those things where they still have to win 52. They've got one down, 51 to go. That's kind of I know they play a lot of games, but this is a bad, bad baseball team. It's kind of a lot when you think about it.
Well, if they're winning one out of every six, I'm not going to do the math in real time on the radio, but the numbers don't add up great for the Colorado Rockies. Something else we've done this week, Will, and you're certainly more than welcome to jump on board. We are now Braves fans on this show. We
adopted
the Atlanta Braves yesterday because, well, the Rockies aren't any good.
I did the math for you. On this current clip, they would win 23 games.
So they'll be better than that.
If you won one out of every seven, you would win 23. 23 and what would that, 139?
Yeah, that's got to be some sort of a record, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's not even 1962 Mets bad. Braves, I mean, I don't know, man. That feels a little front-runner-y to me.
What do you mean?
I mean, Braves are good. They've been good for a long time. They were really good in the 90s. They're really good now. Why can't we be Pittsburgh Pirates fans? Because or Detroit Tigers fans.
Because I've watched the Rockies my whole life.
I want something
on the other end of this spectrum.
I gotcha. I kind of want to pick a lovable loser.
Really?
That's actually good now. The Pirates are good. The Tigers are good. I would rather be a fan of an up-and-coming team than a bandwagon fan. That makes sense?
I get it, but I wouldn't. I'd like to pick winners.
And, well, you're going to be in the playoffs this year. You got as good a chance as anyone to win the World Series this year.
They're on TV regularly. You're going to get to see it more often than not. Acuña Jr. is cool. Like, he's a star player in the league. That's the reason we chose the Braves. We chose the opposite of the Colorado Rockies because we're so sick of the feeling that the Rockies give us. We wanted to feel warmth and love and winning and those kind of things.
Yeah, I will give the Rockies credit, though. They didn't miss a single game on cable. Good for them. Good for them for figuring that out. Didn't have a home, and, you know, people got mad. Oh, they announced it at midnight. I don't care.
You say announced it.
They didn't miss a single game on cable. You can read between the lines on that. That's very good on their management to not miss a single game.
They figured something out in 3 months that the other organization hasn't been able to figure out in 5 years. So, actually, that day of, we gave the Rockies a ton of credit for exactly that, Will. So, they've got some figured out. At least we can watch this on television. All right, I want to take a quick time out, and I want to talk about CU and Deion? Could it ironically be the transfer portal that gave us our first sign that Deion might not have Boulder in his long-term plans? Details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Did we get a hint as to what Deion's future could look like as the head coach of the Buffs up there in Boulder? And ironically, Will, did it come from the transfer portal, which he is the king of right now? Josh Over, Will Peterson sitting in for Stoke, and yourselves. Always appreciate you guys being a part of the program. So what went down this week is Shalom Sanders is going to transfer. She's a basketball player for CU. She, you know, didn't play a ton, but had some time, had some moments. And obviously with what that team was this year, losing in the Sweet 16 again to freaking Iowa again, but how great their year was, how great they've been under JR in general. But she's going to transfer, Will. And what will that mean for the future of Deion Sanders? Now, Zach Bye has a theory, and he's been rolling with it, that this is just a two-year deal for Deion. He's going to leave after this year when Shador, when Travis, when Shiloh leave, and you know, a couple of those guys might be in the NFL, and another might have to find something else to do, but we'll see what it looks like. Could this be a hint that Deion would be a two-and-done, I guess, if you will, that his daughter is transferring, his other two sons will be gone. Travis Hunter, who he looks as a son as, will also be gone, taking their talents to the NFL. Do you think there's any insight here? Can we gain anything with this move being made as to what Deion's going to do at the end of the 2024 football season?
This one's tough for me because Shalomi Sanders appeared in 5 games last year and played in 1.8 minutes per game. Okay, so that quick math there, she played 9 minutes last year as a Colorado Buffalo, a team that went to the Sweet 16. So was it fun for her to be on campus? Fun to be around that team, around those women, going all the way to the Sweet 16? Absolutely. I'm sure it was. But this is coming off a season in which she appeared in 2 games at Jackson State and played 4.5 minutes.
Wow.
So she has to ask herself at this point, do I want to just be a part of a team? Or do I want to be on the court?
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen at Colorado. And I'm not going to sit here, Josh, and pretend to know the answers to that question. Okay? Is she just getting her education and finishing her career and being an athlete and that's cool? Or is she like, I'm going to go to a small D3 school and I'm going to play 25 minutes a night because I can hoop and I want to show people I can hoop. Perfectly within her rights.
Heck yeah.
So I have no idea of her mindset and how this could relate to Deion. That's why I can't jump to these big conclusions. Oh, Shalomi Sanders is transferring. Deion's gone. No, I can't get on board with that. If it was Shador or if it was Shiloh, then of course, because Deion coaches them.
Sure.
Deion leaves the coaching to J.R. Payne. He is not the head coach of the CU women's basketball team. So you could read a lot more into something like this if it was a football player. Now, all that said, I have maintained from the jump, this is Deion's last year in Boulder.
Oh, you're on that too.
Because I think it's, and I'm saying this dead seriously, I think it's more of a health thing. I really do. I mean, this guy is battling blood clots all the time. He's getting surgery. It's a big deal if he can run out of the tunnel. What better way to watch your sons, and he really has 3. He considers Travis Hunter almost a son.
Yeah, of course.
All go off into the NFL. You call it a career. And you go get on your jet and you go watch them play on Sundays and you don't put your body through that stress. So I don't think it's he doesn't like Boulder. He doesn't want to be at CU. He wants to go coach Texas A&M or Florida or whatever. No, I think Deion Sanders is a smart guy. And Josh, if I'm getting emergency surgery for blood clots, I'm not putting my body through the stress anymore. I'm going to go be on a beach. I'm going to go watch my dudes play in the NFL and I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. I think Deion's done because the body's not cooperating. Not any hot take. He's going to go take some other job.
Okay. I give you some pushback on the stress. Like, what's Deion's? Deion ain't stressed about being the head coach of the CU Buffaloes. There's no stress involved with Deion's day-to-day.
Those guys, it still gets the blood pressure up, the anxiety up, you know? Like, you watch him in those videos. He is really intense in those videos. I'm not a doctor, but I can't imagine for someone who's battling blood clots, that's like the best thing for you. I think it's more high tension than you realize. I think those practices are really intense. I think game days are a lot. I think game days are really long, really intense days, 4 hours of yelling at your players, yelling at the refs. I actually do think there's more stress to it than maybe you're giving credit to.
So Deion becomes, you know, because, I mean, he's obviously a star. He's a Hall of Fame football player.
He's
Deion
Sanders.
He's always a star. He's Deion Sanders. But you don't think he, as much as we all love the limelight and the star power that he's created for himself as the head coach of the Buffaloes, I think he loves that just as much as we love that. I think he loves to be on the Affleck commercials. He loves to be with McAfee and the boys on game day. He loves to be talking about the Rocky Mountain Showdown with College Game Day that's never been around in a Boulder or a CSU game and everything that came with the first, 4 weeks of what the Buffs were. Like, I think Deion is all in on Deion being Deion.
The cameras aren't going to stop finding Deion if he retires.
It's not going to be like it is now.
Bro, if Shadur's the number one overall pick and he's at every game, Deion will be on every broadcast, every interview, doing everything. Josh, his goal when he took this job was to get Shadur and Shiloh and Travis to the NFL and raise their profile. Shadur Sanders would not have been a top 10 pick out of Jackson State. He just wouldn't have. And now after 1 year at Colorado, people are talking about number one overall pick. Isn't that mission accomplished for Deion? If his true motivation was getting his sons to the NFL. He's halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
They have one more good year, and he gets all the way home, and he retires.
And so that's the legacy he leaves as a coach, is I got my kids in the NFL as top 20 picks.
He's coached Shadur since he was like 6. Yeah, to me, that's mission accomplished. I saw this guy through from age 6 to age 22, and Roger Goodell just went up there and said, with the first overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Shadur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. I think that'd be mission accomplished, wouldn't it?
I mean, for a father, yeah. I just think that we're overlooking how much Deion wants to be Deion.
You didn't catch my that the Broncos had the number one pick in 2025.
I didn't.
I didn't say the Carolina Panthers select.
Well, that's not too far
so
from
the Denver Broncos select.
There,
yeah,
it's certainly a possibility.
Okay, so you're saying the ego's too big.
I think he loves being the star. I think he loves getting all the attention that he's getting. I think he loves the money that comes with all the attention that he's getting. And I don't think it changes with Shadur or Travis not being around there. He's the king of the transfer portal. You plug and play in that thing. And if he can really get this rolling, if this year is something special that they're trying to sell us that it is, I just have a hard time believing he's going to walk away from being the biggest man on campus and the biggest story, especially with what the Broncos are. That team has success. They're the biggest football story in the state of Colorado, a proud football state. And he's just going to leave that?
So he could
go watch his kid throw passes?
What would he rather do on Sundays? Be in a luxury box watching Shadur Sanders play quarterback for the Broncos? Or be in the film room up at Boulder?
I'm not sure he's doing that much of that anyway.
In theory.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, though. Like, if he is the head coach of Colorado football, it'll be the first time in his entire life he has not been a big part of Shadur's games.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a tough transition for him. I don't think he loves coaching that much. I think he loves his sons that much.
Okay.
And actually, the more we've had this conversation, I'll be stunned if Deion Sanders is on the sidelines for the Colorado Buffaloes in 2025.
Okay.
Stunned is now the emotion I'm feeling. This is his last year as a head coach. But, again, it's not a hot take that he's going to take some SEC job. I think this is his last year as a head coach anywhere.
We'll have to kick this around later, but a few of you are texting it in, and it's been the theory of the week almost of, well, all the guys in Dallas are on one-year deals. Shadur goes there. Deion becomes the coach. The Jerry conversation. Let's revisit that coming up a little bit later. We also got this text. I love these texts. Station's gone sour. All you talk about is Prime. Dumb. This is potentially a year from now. Tired of it. Enjoy him with the Buffaloes. Give us a Rams conversation. We'll talk about that too. But there's
we discuss
about the Rams.
We've been on air for 2 hours. This is the first 10 minutes we've talked about.
That's right.
We've hit the Rockies. We've hit the Avalanche. We've hit the Nuggets. We've hit the Broncos.
Yeah. You can't satisfy everybody, Will.
Sorry, we spent 10 minutes on Coach Prime. Our bad.
You know, the biggest college coach this town has ever seen. That's our bad there, 701. Hey, don't forget tomorrow. Start making your plans right now. You're not going to work on a Friday when it's 70 degrees, are you? So come down to El Patio, Denver. That's where our home opener party is going down. It's right across the street from Coors Field. We're going to walk you up to first pitch. Then Zach and Phil on the drive will keep it rolling till 6. And we're giving away a special prize. It's going to happen before the game starts, so you have to be with us present at the rooftop at El Patio Denver to find out how you can win, what the prize is, and perhaps take it home. So come find us tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. at El Patio Denver.